Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. It's August 8th, 2013, and thanks to the amigos, the beer amigos, for that intro August song that they 8th? Made for us. All right. Eddie, my buddy's
August
back.
August 8th?
Is it August 8th? Or October 8th, 2013. I have to say, I'm a little, I got this awesome group in the studio today. Ed from Mug's Ale. Ed.
Eddie. Somebody has to correct
buddy. I need you. And I don't know. I'm out of it. But cheers, everybody. We got Leah from the ship in here from Milford, New Jersey. We're tasting some of her English-style beers. We got Zach from ABC Beer Company in the East Village. Yay. We have Haley and Meredith from The Bearded Ladies, one of the finest blogs out there about beer. And cheers to Maggie, Bree, and Justin, our producers and team and all that. So, hey, we're here on the Heritage Radio Network. We're here every Tuesday. Our sponsor is GreatBrewers.com. Thanks so much. And our supporter is the Good Beer Seal. Well, a lot's been going on in New York. We're getting ready for Cider Week. Even though it's not beer, it's a big event for some of us. Last week we had a very interesting guest. We had Heather, the brewer from Six Point. Yay. And we had Ed on. We drank some vintage beers. So what did you bring this week, Ed?
I just bought, since it's our 21st anniversary tomorrow, a couple bottles. They actually presented us with a couple of cases of the Blood Brothers IPA from last year that Brooklyn Brewery brewed for us, and I figure it's a good time to share it. Why not? You know, it's not going to be, it wasn't readily available to anybody, and people dug it, so we've got the Bearded Ladies, we have everybody else here, and why not? And we have the Bearded Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
the true Bearded.
Good one.
So let's go. Let's have everybody introduce themselves, because there's a lot of new guests here. Just say your name and tell us where you're from and a little bit what's going on.
I'm Leah from the Ship Inn. I'm the brewer. I've been there for about 4 years brewing beer. We're a traditional English brewery in Milford, New Jersey. That's right on the Delaware River. And we are New Jersey's first brew pub.
You know, I was out there this summer. I was lucky. Our good friend Jonathan White from Bobolink Dairy and Bakehouse, I think.
Yes.
It's not Bobolink Farm. Don't ever say that. But he had a little pig roast, and he's talked about the ship inn so much. I know that I had some really great beers out there. So how long have you been the brewer?
For 4 years, but we became New Jersey's first brew pub in 1995. That's when the prohibition laws changed, and we were able to open up in January with our first beer, which is the Best Bitter.
Awesome. And then we've also got Zach from ABC Beer. How are you, Zach?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Great. Tell us a little about yourself.
So we're a craft beer store and bar on Avenue C between 6th and 7th in the East Village. We've been open about 18 months now. Have 350, 400 bottles for sale to go, a bunch of pints, 12 rotating tap lines to stay, good food, comfortable
atmosphere.
But
you're almost more of a beer bar. I mean, it's a store format, but
yeah,
we've got some great seating areas.
We're one of the increasingly popular hybrid concepts, but we really do pride ourselves on having some comfortable seating and back patio where you can hang out when the weather's nice like now, which is
Ed, do you ever go anywhere besides Mug's Ale House?
I'll go anywhere. I'm too old for that. Please.
Yeah, he used to be in a polka band. When he gave up the polka band,
polka
he hasn't been out.
I love bringing that up. Okay,
And our very special guest, who've written a lot of great things and probably know more about beer than anyone in the room.
I don't know about that.
Nah.
I'm Meredith from Bearded Ladies.
And I'm Haley from Bearded Ladies.
We're sharing headphones right now, like conjoined twins, so we'll probably speak at the same time.
And the microphone.
But we're not actually conjoined. We're two individuals.
And we're not bearded as well.
Thank you.
Just love beer.
I was just going to say
it's
that.
It's fun.
But we, you know, we love what you guys write. You wrote a great article about going up to Brewery Omegang in Cooperstown, Meredith.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah,
and, you know, and Jimmy, not to, I want to jump on this because I'm a father of four girls, and it's incredible that, you know, last week we had a female brewer.
Heather this McReynolds. Week
we have
a few, yeah.
And we have the bearded ladies, even though they're not bearded, but, you know, they, it's just
we'll
nice being
it,
surrounded by women
ladies.
That like beer. It's good.
Let's start. So, Meredith, how did you, so tell us how Bearded Ladies got started. I know it's a respected beer blog. I've seen you at a lot of events.
I love beer, and I love drinking beer, and I also thought I would put that creative writing degree to use, combining the two. So I, Haley and I worked together at a bar in Brooklyn, and it was a beer bar. We talked about beer all the time, and I had the idea last year to start writing it down. So we developed the website and launched it in January. And since then, I've just been doing a lot of self-promotion on social media because I'm in marketing, so that kind of crossover helped.
What bar did you guys work at?
We worked at a... Do you want to say the name?
Yeah. Strong Place. I still work there, so it's a great place. It's in Cobble Hill on Court Street. Fantastic little gastropub.
Yeah. How many lines? 22? 21?
24. 24. Yeah. 24 lines of beer.
It's good.
All right. Cool. Excellent. And what are you guys working on? I know you wrote, I keep saying this article about Brewery Omegang because it was pretty good.
I do. We each kind of have our own little thing that we write about. I do 50 States of Beer is one of my series that actually got picked up by a bigger food blog called American Food Roots at AmericanFoodRoots.com. And I'm doing beer and food pairings for each state. That grew out of Bearded Ladies. The other ones I do are Brews Cruise, which is kind of like that's where the Omegang one came from. It's kind of like a travel brewery tourism kind of thing where I go to different breweries and convince them to give me a private tour so I can write about it, which is pretty fun.
You ever hang them out to dry?
Not yet.
Okay.
We don't want that kind of journalism.
Wait, it's America.
Well, since Leia's here from the Ship Inn and you guys are British specialists, let's talk about English-style beers and cask beers. I think that... not too many Americans really know about that. Tell us a little, give us like a primer on British beer and then what you guys are doing at the Ship Inn in Milford, New Jersey.
All right, so what makes British beer is that it's a one infusion mash system, low carbonation, warmer temperatures, and generally lower alcohol content. And also open fermentation. So I brew on a 7-barrel Peter Austin system. We do have open fermentation, and we only use Ringwood yeast, which is generally a little controversial. But if you brew within the proper parameters, it's quite delicious. We do not filter our beer. It is constantly evolving and maturing and growing. The best bitter currently is about 3 weeks old, and this is a very different flavor.
So that's what we're drinking now.
Than when it started. It's definitely finishing off pretty
filtered?
Nice. No, we don't filter at all. We allow gravity to filter our beer.
Okay.
We also have the beer engines, the hand pumps, so traditionally, if somebody comes into the brew pub asking for a Budweiser, they'll be slightly disappointed that our beers are considered flat by their standards. But once you get used to it, it's quite delicious.
So I know originally at the Ship's Inn, why did you guys have a British beer focus?
Oh, the owners are British.
Ah, that explains it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's a simple answer.
Period.
Period. Yeah. Ed, do you do any cask beers?
Yeah, we do. I actually was going to ask you if you were going to do that. If you do, I think you do cask beer, right? We do. Cask has been, again, I've been doing this for 21 years, and cask is, it depends on what you put up. And I am a traditionalist, so I feel that cask should be left to like stouts and like ESBs and not really, you know, everything comes in cask now, and you have Belgian style beers, which I think, I'm like, you know, after a while, it's like, it's just, crazy. I love it. You know, maybe gravity if you want to pour it, but I think through a beer engine, I really think that, you know, traditional styles, like you just said, English styles are really the ones that started it. And I really like to put my blinders on and try to focus in on that and not
I agree.
That.
I mean, we dabble with casks as well, and I think the traditional styles tend to do better. You know, you put something up that pours really well in a normal draft system, like a Green Flash West Coast IPA, put the same thing up on Cask and people just don't have the same reaction. It's kind of hit or miss with it, but it's something like this. This is perfect.
I'll tell you. I mean, you know, and IPAs to me, I've used to never want them on cask, but we've been, Stone has been good to us, and we've been getting these crazy casks, and we blow through them. I mean, they do well. But I still like, you know, I like the older English style type of things on cask. So.
I actually, on Saturdays, I give craft beer pub crawl tours for Urban Oyster.
Ah,
which is a tour company. So we
you
end
come
at
through
Mugs.
Us?
Exactly.
Yes.
So all
yes.
my tours end at Mugs, and I always try to get a cask.
Yeah, we
sample
you know,
on there
I mean,
for
if
the
you,
folks
how
to
many,
say, wow them.
How long have you been doing it?
I've only been working there a couple months, actually.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we through the summer, we try to avoid cask because it's like it gets really controlled temperature. Mm-hmm. We don't have
Same.
A cask room or anything like that. Now, you know, if you're going to keep doing the tours, you'll see we'll probably have two casks up when
nice.
We go into the fall. But I like to put, you know, just certain.
So how do you do it? Do you have a hand pump or do you just put it on the bar?
We have two hand pumps. We have two of them. And we have an area that we just have a cask. I'm traditionalist. And, you know, we leave it there. We do have a, what do you call them? God, now I stumped myself. A breather, I think, on it. It's called a breather. And it actually puts a 2-pound pressure of gas on top of it. So we have 32 beer lines. And for us to really draw out one cask within 3 days, you know, naturally is just impossible. So we try to keep it alive. So we put that little blanket of CO2 combination nitrogen on top of it. And it lives longer. And it actually does live longer. And it, depending on the alcohol that we have, the cask, what's within the cask, we can actually get through a cask within 6 to 7 days. So we're okay with it.
For the rest of you guys, does anyone feel like there's an agreed-upon standard for how a cask should be served in America?
Oh, man.
That's a tough question. I know the answer,
agreed upon.
It shouldn't
this,
be.
We have no government for the same reason. We all serve beer differently. No one can agree on anything here. Personally, you know, we're a younger bar than he is, but we definitely have come to the conclusion that I like the gravity system as well. I prefer to keep it at room temperature. You really need to...
But gravity, you got to get rid of it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And it's like, if you don't get rid of it, if you don't sell
it,
the objective is to sell it. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you can't sell it,
Leah, at the ship in, how do you guys handle? So you have some of your beer is on a light carbonation, mm-hmm. but then the beers that are on hand pull, you know, tell us how you guys handle that system.
Well, how many draft lines and what? I mean, how many beers do you serve?
We have 6 bright tanks in our cooler. Our cooler is kept to cellar standards, so all of the beers are served at the same temperature.
Okay.
Generally, in the summer, I hold back off of the amount of beers that I will put on the hand pumps. We have 3.
But
taps
do you keg
pumps.
Them or you draw from the tanks?
Oh, they're in the bright tanks. Yeah, so we draw from the bottom. So we use gravity to bring it up. It's a piston suction. So yeah, generally in the summer, people aren't too interested in a flatter beer. But in the winter time, you'll see 2 to 3 hand pump beers on at all times. Including stout, which I think is sublime.
I really think
in
the winter stouts on cask are probably the best. But
so yeah. you're really built to serve the beers the way you want.
Oh yes.
So unlike the rest of us, we have these like you know traditional draft systems.
The customer wants. No, I'm just kidding. Well, actually, no. I do brew for the customer as well. What we're currently drinking now is the.
Do you really?
The Killer Bee is our extra special bitter recipe with honey added to it, and this is probably our most popular beer. I can't even keep it in house.
This is this right now?
Yeah, I would have a full time job just trying to keep up with demand for this.
You know,
beer.
Columbus Day weekend's coming up, and it's nothing like about an hour and a half drive from the city to Milford.
Road trip.
Yeah, and the ship ends right there. So tell us, people, what it's like when you walk in and the experience they'll have, because it's a real special place.
Well, the first thing you'll notice is the plaid rug. we are a very traditional English brew pub. We also have beautiful tin ceilings. And then once you sit down at the bar, the next thing you're going to notice is we don't have a TV. We believe in... atmosphere and socialization and interacting. You don't have anybody staring at a ceiling while you're trying to converse with them. We're definitely a family restaurant. We have a very diverse crowd of customers. And there's one more thing I wanted to say about.
And you make your beer there.
Yeah, we make the beer there. You can actually see the brewery. It's all behind glass. If I'm there diving into something, you'll see me sweaty and.
I can definitely recommend a trip out there if you go out to Milford. It's near Frenchtown.
Yes.
Some fancy writers are living in Frenchtown, New Jersey now. But it's a nice place, though.
It is, and we also serve English savories, and we definitely work with the community around us. So. We get all of our produce and our beef locally. The honey for this beer is right from Milford, New Jersey, from Tasso Apiaries. And we use bobolink quite often for their delicious cheese.
Awesome. All right. Hey, just in case you're out there right now, you can email us, beersessions@gmail.com. And you can also send us a Twitter message, @beer_sessions. We'll be back in a few minutes here on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
You are listening to Leaving by Dead Stars on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Stay tuned for more from Beer Sessions Radio.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're out here at Roberta's in Bushwick. I'm looking forward to my dinner tonight. I think it's going to be a Mo's Fun Mangalista pork collar and some pizza. Ed, what are you going to have for dinner tonight?
I'm going home.
You're going home. You gave up the polka van. You can't go out anymore.
Yeah, God, you
well,
with the polkas.
Ed, so I was saying you brought the special beer. I call it the monster beer. But what beer did you really bring for the anniversary?
Monster. It was our Brooklyn Brewery was in Williamsburg when we opened the bar 21 years ago. And I felt that after 20 years of being there that I had talked to them and I talked to Garrett Oliver and we wanted to come up with an anniversary ale. And they did. And we brewed this last year. And it came out great. And there are not too many bottles left. It is the Blood Brothers IPA. It was a red IPA.
It's not the monster.
No, it's not the monster. It's actually... I went there and I tried to figure out what style did Brooklyn Brewery at that point not have, and a red IPA was one of them. And Blood Brothers IPA, since we've been there working together for so many years, we figured that would be a good name for it. And it was an Imperial IPA. It's about 8.5% alcohol, and it came out beautifully, and people dug it. And I actually think Garrett got pissed that it was so good, but whatever. And the bottles, I haven't had it, so we can try these now and enjoy them.
So, do you have more of these at Mug's Ale House?
No, they're not readily available for sale. None of it was, other than the kegs. It wasn't registered to be here, so I can give it away, but I can't sell it.
This is a special. Well, cheers, and
Meredith, so you should enjoy it, Jimmy.
All right. And well, not on to that yet. We're drinking the Southern Tier,
of course,
ESB that Meredith brought.
Throw the old man aside.
Yeah, this is the Southern Tier Harvest. It's their English style extra special bitter. I picked it up before here at Double Windsor, which is where our third bearded lady, Kara, works, where she's working right now, actually.
I need a bearded lady. Can I find a bearded lady to work at Mugs?
Hey, man, I could use another night shift. So.
There we go.
But, yeah, I love this beer. I love Southern Tier. I think they do an awesome job. I wish they weren't so far away. You see New York, and you're like, oh, I could go visit. But then you realize it's like 8.5-hour drive due west.
Yeah, but their beers are – I mean, they – if you can get them in New York, they're here. I mean,
you know what? So where are they? Like, they're way out by Lake Erie, aren't they?
Lake
they're
something. something.
They're far
lake.
Out.
One of those lakes.
Because I'm not the guys.
Exactly.
We're all looking at
they're
each
near,
other.
They're
right
near
now.
Buffalo.
We're all there. Yeah, right. They're up by Rochester.
Western New York.
Well, there's some great lakes love. There's a guys way out in western Pennsylvania also called Voodoo. And I just met them, and they say they're actually just across the border from Southern Tier. So they're all like almost to Lake Erie.
Lake Erie, yeah.
That's probably where it's all.
You know, funny story, my mom was at a conference for, she works in healthcare, she's at a conference somewhere in Arizona or something like that, and she texts me, "Do you know Southern Tier beer?" Because she knows I like beer.
That's
obviously
what I'm drinking right now.
And I was opening a pumpkin, this was like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm actually opening a pumpkin right now." She said, "You are invited." And apparently she was sitting next to the father of the brewer at Southern Tier at some conference in Arizona, and they struck up a conversation. She's like, "Oh, my daughter has a blog," you know, whatever. It's like, all right, okay.
That's cool. We actually have a casket of pumpkin coming up in our fall fest.
Oh, nice.
In a couple
that sounds
weeks.
Awesome.
Yeah, 19th to 20th will be up.
Fantastic.
So. Could I formally invite the bearded ladies?
Thank you so much. We will take you up on that.
Am I invited too?
Zach, you're invited, but why don't you invite us?
He's not
why don't
bearded,
you invite
though,
us to something that's going on at your place?
Oh, man. Well,
Zach is the bearded wonder.
I'm well,
he's
I wish
the
I could grow
guy.
A beard. I'm not.
Jimmy's
yeah, we've got, we just finished up doing like a light Oktoberfest. We're across the street, pretty much. We're kitty corner to Zoom Schneider.
Yep.
So we did an Americanized attempt at Oktoberfest. Those guys crush it every year, but we had a lot of fun, and now we're just kind of focusing on doing some classes. We got a stellar cheese program, and we're going to be highlighting some beer and cheese pairing classes, getting stuff ready for fall and like the holidays ready, gearing everyone up for how to entertain for holiday parties.
Are there certain nights that you have?
Yeah, we do them on Mondays and Tuesdays for the most part, but we're going to be posting up the finalized schedule, which I've kind of slacked off on finalizing until sometime later this week. It'll be up on our website, which is abcbeer.co.
Zach, let's talk about you, because you've got a little bit of a background. I know.
I guess. So.
I read about. First of all, you guys were closed by
Can
Sandy
you
last
it on
year.
The radio,
yeah.
You know, it's a good time to bring. Almost a year ago, it was Hurricane Sandy, and much of the city was shut down.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that way.
You guys were flooded, but
yeah.
You have a nice community. But you're part of something. There's like a wine store. You have a wine background. Tell us how you got started in this.
Right. So I, you know, much like most people, I moved here right after graduating college without much of an idea of what was going to happen, and I kind of fell into the wine industry, thanks to my current business partner, who owns a wine shop over on Avenue C, a couple doors down from us, Alphabet City Wine Company, basically the same name. And through that and working at his restaurant that he co-owns called Invino, I was able to get a good feeling for Italian wines and through the wine shop through for international wines. And from there, I just kind of blossomed into an understanding of good booze, good wine, good beer, and realized that, you know, it's worth to like what you drink. So
how did you guys make the jump from doing a wine bar and a wine store to a dedicated beer shop?
Well, I was actually never a partner at either of those places. I was working there while trying to get my my writing career, my media career off the ground, which coincided with a financial collapse. So it was an interesting time to be 22, 23 in New York, but that slowly took off, and I took a couple desk jobs before I realized I absolutely hated it.
Just
and,
one thing. Don't mention your age here.
Yeah,
so
I am.
I really would appreciate that.
I think Ed's bar is older than you.
Yeah. We just turned 21. We can drink.
God, you guys are making me feel young for the first time in a while.
Well, you are.
I took a couple desk jobs, realized pretty quickly that it wasn't for me, and I got a phone call while I was home visiting family in the midst of a bit of a nervous breakdown about my career life, and my current business partner, David Hitchner, was just basically told me he wanted to open up a craft beer store bar, and took about a year. I was working long hours, working the day shift at the desk job, and then coming and figuring out how the bar was going to work at night, but we finally opened May of last year. So,
good.
Yeah,
it's a good way to do it.
Right. And on the way out, I'm just going back to one. We both said that we knew about Kermit Lynch, who inspired me, and he was a importer of French wine.
Exactly.
Around the same time as Alice Waters. If anyone goes back that far, and in 1989 he wrote a great book called The Adventures on the Winery. And I would say any of our beer fans out there, if you want to get inspired go get Kermit Lynch's book, Adventures on the Wine Route. It's about an importer who is out there checking out the scene, and his style of writing and the life that he lived inspired many of us to
it's romantic
get into this business,
in a truly non-overblown way. Yeah, if you're one of those rare people who like to read books and not listicles on the internet, it's a great way to really appreciate an awesome industry, something that gets overshadowed by a lot of pompous overspeak. And this guy, it really is for me too.
He went and visited the wine growers that he's met all these people and talked about his travels, and in a way that we feel about when you know you guys are out there, Meredith, you're visiting a brewery, or you know we're going into the Ship Inn in Milford, New Jersey. It's the same experience. We're like, wow, this movement is just starting, and we're meeting all these great people.
Yeah, it's come a long way since he wrote that book, and you know it's a really good thing to pick up and read if you're interested in it.
So what's on tap right now at ABC Beer Co?
We've got a bunch of things on tap right now. We did a special event last week with Peak Organic, and we were dropping hops in their Fall Summit. We got Summit hops sitting in the bar right now that we're dropping in the drinks. So
let's go.
We got things like that. We've got Lanju Blug, a Spanish beer in. We're pouring those guys. We're doing. God, what else did we have on today? That was Lisa. What were you drinking? We had
Schneiderweisse
because a classic. We're holding true to Oktoberfest because the guys over at Zumsteiner are going strong. We rotate constantly, so it really depends on we got good reps. They help us out, so we get interesting stuff in and old favorites. Yep, but it's always
you up
different
today. Rob Reeves, a longtime beer salesman, was there from
sells
Rodenbach, which is pretty great.
We people love coming through the front door, and I feel like I'm an easy guy to work with, so people tend to stop by and pitch me on new stuff.
Let's get the Bearded Ladies in, and Ed, so you guys are a beer store. So I feel like a lot of the great new places that have opened in the city are beer stores, but yours is one that really has a beer bar component. Like, I feel like when I walk in, the store is just like the front. It's like those restaurants where they're like, oh, it's going to be a butcher shop and a restaurant, but it's really a restaurant.
Right, well, to set the scene kind of similar to what we had with Leo over here, we don't have the plaid rug, but we do have like gorgeous chandelier and a couple of refrigerators on the sides where you see the meat and cheese counter up front and all this stuff in a grocery section that's really, really well maintained. Phoebe, our food manager, does a phenomenal job of stocking all this stuff. We just we really take pride in the front part of the store, but it moves to the back pretty quickly. You realize there's the 12 rotating taps, comfortable bar area, and then we have this gorgeous 16-foot-long wooden table and comfortable leather chairs and a back patio that's perfect for hanging out in. And it's a different vibe than you get at a lot of the hybrid stores.
Meredith, what do you think about this thing? Is it the beer stores that are, and I know this interesting licensing, and I think New York's really dynamic in that you can have a restaurant that's a brewery, you have beer stores
that are
also bars.
There's a lot of different
bars.
Licenses. I mean, you can have a bottle shop under a deli license and still serve beer as long as you have a menu.
I don't know what it's like in New Jersey, but I'm from Massachusetts, or I grew up north of Boston, and it's very different there. You can't do anything like that. Or even close, and growlers are an issue there, if anything.
I mean, what are some of the other beer shop hybrids that you like, Meredith?
I love Top Hops on Orchard Street. I used to work at the Tenement Museum, and
those
I would always duck out over to Top Hops after work. Fantastic bottle shop. The cool thing about bottle shops is that it kind of is the answer to wine stores, but even better because you can enjoy a pint there. So, I mean, craft beer is everywhere right now. You know, you can go into your bodega and find 37 different six-packs. But is that deli guy going to know as much about craft beer as maybe somebody who was trained as a sommelier would know about wine? Not to talk smack about deli guys, but odds are no. So going to a bottle shop that specializes in craft beer, you get a really knowledgeable person behind the counter. You can sit and have a pint, talk about it. And also they can, tell you what to pair with your meatloaf dinner you're going to have the next day, So I think it's awesome.
There's one place I like. I think it's on Grand or Metropolitan. Is it Brewery Lane? It's something else.
Yeah.
Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, yeah.
Yeah.
Brooklyn.
My friend, Ed Raven. Yeah.
That's actually on the Urban Oyster Tour. Right before Mugs, we go to the Brooklyn.
So where else do you go on Urban Oyster Tour?
We start at Barcade. which is fantastic because I get to lead off by being like, so these guys are sitting around thinking we like beer and video games. Let's do this forever.
Actually, you guys should start at Bugs, but then they
And then, the owner of the company turned it around.
I like this.
We get often a lot of people going to Mugs thinking we start there and then having a pint and then calling us eventually and saying, I'm late for the tour.
I'll kick it back in.
we started Barcade. We go to Brooklyn. We go to Spite and Dival, which is really fun because everyone thinks it's a barbershop when we roll up. And they're always very surprised. Spite and Dival is this great little craft beer bar in Williamsburg that specializes in rare and sort of obscure beers. They only have about six or seven, Jimmy?
Six drafts.
Six drafts, and they're just fantastic.
300
bottles
or something.
Yeah. They really know what they're talking about.
They
Shane over
standard,
there knows what they're talking
about. And they really do. Well, hey, another toast here. We're going to take a short break, listen to some cool music, and we'll be back in a few minutes here on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
You're listening to Kill Me in the Summertime by Dead Stars on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, welcome. What, Ed? Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. What's up, Ed?
Nothing.
Ed's my new co-host.
I know.
He's going to be on almost every week, at least for
a
month.
I was going to start calling you Kermit now.
Kermit Lynch.
Yeah, right.
I'll make a toast to Kermit Lynch. If you like what's going on in beer.
Cheers to Kermit Lynch.
This guy was a pioneer. Yeah. So.
Cheers
to Kermit Lynch. Adventures on the Wine Route. I would definitely check it out.
Carbone.
I met him when I was young and I was just getting started out talking about Zach. You know, I would go to a lot of wine tastings I first met guys like Ed Raven and Jim Munson, who were the early salesmen. At Brooklyn Brewery, they had the Craft Brewers Guild, which was the first group in New York that was selling everything from Chimay Schneider Aventinus to some like American craft beers like Rogue. And this is like 1992. And at the same time, I had just read the Kermit Lynch Adventures on the Wine Route. And I was really inspired to say, hey, you know, I can have a career with these like-minded, literary, smart people. And before that, I didn't really think that the restaurant or bar business was really worth pursuing as a career. But I just needed that little spark to get going.
I could just say a little bit into that, because beer history in New York, I mean, it really started at Brooklyn Brewery. It really did, to a certain degree. But what you just mentioned with Ed Raven and everybody else, these guys used to have, the Craft Brewers Guild was to me like the ultimate distributor at that point. And they would have meetings because at that time when they were starting out, they didn't have an office, so they came to Mugs and they used to have their meetings in the back. But these guys, what impressed me the most, the drivers, the truck drivers, everybody was there tasting any new product that they had coming in. And I was impressed. I was just like, God, if you're taking the extra effort to have everybody sit there, and they used to sit around in a circle. We used to all sit around in a circle. Here is the new Korsendonk or this and that at that point. And they would go around and just say, what do you think of it? What do you think it is? And everybody just had their little blurb on it. And they were really an anchor in New York. And for many years, I mean, New York was behind for a long time. But, you know, now it's chaotic.
I'd say even, you know, cheers to Ed Raven, too, but we're just talking about Sam. He hand-delivered a keg to my place this week. He's still super involved in everything. He's bringing in great stuff. And I'm happy to be involved with people like that. But you have he's to, right. You have New York
you really have to applaud Steve Hindy
everybody.
And Tom Potter. I mean, those are the two mainstays.
Everybody,
but
yeah.
I mean, all those guys. You got Richie Novak. You have a lot of people that were behind the scenes. Even this guy, Greg, I think his name is. I call him G-Man, but he was like a driver at the time, and now he's like the warehouse manager. These guys were all a piece of this, and you know, Brooklyn, and thank God, because at one point Brooklyn Brewery was going to move out of Williamsburg, and I used to be like,
going way back when you first started. I mean, I remember those days, but you remember them better. Like you still have a great draft set up at Mugs, but you still have some of the legacy beers. Like, you know, you always have on some.
Yeah, you know, I am not a rotational guy as a lot of bars are. I mean, I know that, you know, everybody's young now, so a lot of young people are looking for a lot of different things. I mean, I had a guy write me up someplace on a review. It's like, oh, there's nothing I haven't had here before. But we try to actually applaud everybody that was there before. I mean, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, you can't take it down. I mean, you know, it's like our Pale Ale. We've had it up for 20 years. You know, Weinsteffer, Hefeweizen. I mean, I could put 10 Hefeweizens up, but maybe somebody's not going to like that Hefeweizen. But Weinsteffer's like just, there's staples that you have to kind of stick with. And that's the way I look at it. And everybody does what they want to do now. Like I said earlier, like when we were off the mics, you know, the whole scene has changed, the whole novelty. Everybody's a multi-tap bar. Everybody picks and chooses what they want to do. I just feel that you have to kind of keep the guys that were there before all of this happened. And, you know, you have beer geeks out there that are going to look at me like, oh, yeah, he's got nothing there, you know, this and that. Well, you know what? I have Sierra Pale up. I have Hoegaarden up. I think it's a great whip beer. Yeah, you have all the great. Allagash is a great whip beer. I love it. We put it up, run it alongside. But, you know, not everybody likes Allagash. So, you know, we try to find that middle road.
But then you have other side. You have all this real specialty stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? Like I keep telling you, and we've talked about this in the past, it's been chaotic. And it's like, it's crazy. Who do you put up? What nano brewery? What this? You know, in the old days when I was coming, it was easy. Stone showed up in town, and we had three Stones up. It was like, oh, yeah, you want to come up? We got three draft lines. You can't do that with a brewery now. You've got nanos, you've got all these micros showing up. New York, and like I said earlier, it's really has become chaotic and it's unraveled to a point where, for me, a guy in my age, it's just become like I would rather. I am actually thinking about turning the tables on breweries and just saying, hey, you take care of me, I take care of you, that type of thing. Because I'll give you a draft line, you give me the specialty stuff,
beer
and we'll work something out.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't know what way to approach it anymore because it just gets crazy. It's like you have breweries showing up, like you mentioned, Spanish breweries.
I mean, I do rotational taps at Alphabet City Beer Co. It's like it's a lot of work. There's always something new coming up, and there's a give and a take with that. People love to be able to come in and try new things, but like you said, there's great stuff that I wish I could have on more often. But I'm beholden.
Well, you know one thing.
One thing that's great about having the show.
You're done. Come on.
I have to ask this question. I'm going to forget this question. Yeah. How many of those beers? And I'm not going to put you in. I hope I don't put you in a spot here. You know, as well as I know, there are stragglers. And they're going to be beers. They're going to sit there, and it's like people are going to be like, all right, you rotate them in. They don't rotate out as quick. And you know it. And I know it because it happens. And that's what the rotation thing just drives me nuts.
It can be. Also, it's kind of like trying to plan a kitchen. Like if a restaurant did food this way, it would drive them out of business half the time because no one would know what they were expecting coming in. With beer, you can go a certain style. So you're kind of working with a general framework of what you need to order, but a lot of the time you're basically stuck with what's available. And sometimes, you know, I mean, like I never put something on that I wouldn't drink myself. That's obviously the baseline rule.
I think Meredith has something to say.
I was just reminded
the ladies to talk.
Well, this is kind of a personal thing for me though. I was just reminded, Ed, when you were talking about rotation and sort of like your philosophy on lining your taps. I always tell the story to my tours of the last Coors Light line. The famous story.
I actually told it to him.
Maybe Zach can tell it.
If you want, you'll hear it from the horse's mouth, I guess. Kind of thing. Or the horse's whatever you want.
From mentor to mentee. I'm My lips are sealed.
You know, I've been doing this for 21 years, a long time. I mean, you know.
No, I
you
love it. You're a pioneer, man. You're a pioneer.
I've been sworn to secrecy.
I'm 12, actually.
Tell us the story.
All right.
Tell us the story.
The story was when we started Mugs Up, we had 8 draft lines. And I always, like, was edging my wife on. And my wife and I run the place. So it's like, we're like, I got to change this up. And I'm like, Coors Light. Don't crucify me. Lightning bolts don't strike me down. We had Bud and Coors Light, you know, in 1992.
But it was a turnkey bar, right?
It was turnkey. We were the 4th bar in the neighborhood there. Now it's, what, 400 bars?
And so you inherited some regulars.
Right. And we had Coors Light.
I'll just help you along.
And we had Coors Light and Bud up. And one day I decided to take FX Matt Light up and replace the Coors Light line with that. And I was like, this will work. I said, it's a light beer. I mean, and I don't believe in light beers. After that point, we never had a light beer up again because I just don't believe in light beer. If you're going to drink beer, you want a beer that has gusto. It's like you want something there. I mean, you really do. And make a long story short, because I mean, now Jimmy's already fallen asleep. And what happened was this one regular that we used to have is Brooklyn, old Brooklyn type of guy. He was taller than me. Big guy, 300 pounds, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting at the bar, and he gets just crazy. He's going to hit me with a chair, and I whip out the chair out of his hands, throw him out of the bar, and actually told him that if I would have left the Coors Light handle up on top of this beer, that he probably wouldn't have known. But I put the handle that was supposed to be there. And then I get a beer geek walking through the door at 3:15 to talk to me about gravities of other beers, and now he's like, look at him, now's not the time. But after that we took Bud down and we really just jumped on the bandwagon and went craft all the way. So
all right, wait, Leah from the Ship in Milford, what's the last beer you poured for us?
This is the Red Coat Ale. This actually is a customer named ale. We were lacking in a red ale. We have lots of pails, we have lots of browns and porters and stouts in our recipe repertoire, but we didn't have any red ales, so I wanted to create something with a little bit of a smoky flavor to herald the fall. And so when it first went up, it was called the beer that has yet to be named, and we allowed our customers to put in suggestions for a name. We picked 3 that we
liked.
Sounds
like Harry Potter.
Yes, yes. We actually had a lot of people saying, oh, it should be the beer that shall not be named Voldemort. So we didn't. Unfortunately, that was not in the running.
You can't say Voldemort on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We don't own the rights.
Ooh. 7 words.
I grabbed those words back.
This is a future show, how to name beers. There you go, Jimmy. Right.
You got it.
So yeah, this is actually a relatively new beer. Was just tapped last week, and is hitting its maturity.
It tastes great. I like your English style. One quick thing: when you first came on the show, you were talking about the system that you guys have.
Yes.
What is the system called?
It's a Peter Austin system. Basically, we have handmade bricks surrounding our kettle. We have copper topping, very small mash tun. It's bare bones, very small. And
is it a special yeast that you use? Is it the ring? What's it called?
Ringwood yeast.
So what's the controversy with that? Because I've heard that.
Well, is that ringwood like the ringwood that they use for like Berliner Weiss? The juice that they is that similar to that?
This is the ringwood yeast that makes Old Thumper from the shipyard in Maine.
Okay.
We actually get our yes, Alan Pugsley. They actually came in and built our brewery for us, and he brought the yeast over. So we actually use.
But
their
why
yeast.
Is there? I've heard other people say something, but why is there a controversy about that?
So basically, what happens with ringwood yeast is if you go with outside of the temperature parameters for fermentation, that's between 65 degrees and 73 degrees, the yeast will start to create very off flavors. If you go hotter temperatures, you'll start to get nail polish, butterscotch flavors, which are slightly unpleasing. And if you go at cooler temperatures, you create stuck fermentation. The yeast is very sluggish and doesn't do much, and so you have more of a sweeter, lackluster beer. So basically, within the ringwood yeast parameters, most people don't like it because they don't like to stick within the parameters that the yeast they don't respect the yeast. And that's what we do at the Ship Inn. We actually, the beer brews itself. I am a glorified janitor.
Ooh. Well, I'm glad you admitted what brewers do. It's too much cleaning for me. And let's introduce a special guest, Lisa Witkowski.
Exactly.
Lisa, you're going for a cup. You're a big fan of beer. What's coming up? You're in Cicerone. You're in National Beer Judge programs. Just give us a quick hello and say all the programs you're in, because you're one of the.
Doesn't want to put the beer down.
I don't do anything terribly exciting. People always ask me what I do in beer, and I drink a lot of it. I'm a certified Cicerone, and I'm studying for master, and it's hard work, but you find people are brewing absolutely extraordinary beer. I wish everybody could be here and taste some of this coming from New Jersey. And I mean, there are some amazing people obviously right now running, like Zach, tremendous beer bars. I don't have to tell anybody about Mugs. I'm there a lot. To everybody's shame. And amazing people serving beer. And I want to say that the best work I've put in is I just want it to go somewhere, and that's what I do. I drink a lot of beer.
It's funny, when I opened Mugs, that's the same thing I said. I want it to go somewhere.
It didn't work out that way, did it?
No, actually it did. Look at us. I'm on a radio show. I'm
celebrating
surrounded
21
by four
years.
Young women and one man and one young man. And one old man.
For those
like
of
myself.
You at home, none of the ladies have beards. One of the gentlemen is without one. Two of them are with, depending on your preference. We live in a fine life, don't we?
Very diverse.
All right. Well, hey, I think it's time's
a
almost
beer,
up.
My friends.
I'm not shutting you guys down, but tonight's podcast is brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a comprehensive website aimed at bringing the beer community together. And it's October, not August. We're here. Everybody's here. A couple of things coming up. Our friends, October 12th, the Village Voices hosts the third annual Brooklyn Pour at One Handsome Place. Check it out, Village Voice, Brooklyn Pour. And I'd like to thank our sponsors at GreatBrewers.com who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Ed, anything else going on, special events?
I have the anniversary party tomorrow night. Everybody's invited. We have about a dozen. We usually go a little bit crazier for a weekend, but I figured that this year I just did in the middle. Not too many anniversary beers out there. So we have a couple anniversary beers. We have an old Dogfish Head Worldwide Stout we'll be tapping. We have Sierra Optimum on cask, and we have the last sixthel of this beautiful Blood Brothers IPA that we're
going to have. Awesome. Meredith and Haley, you have some special events coming up, too.
We do. We started doing Bearded Ladies events in Brooklyn. So on October 27th, we have a Beard Geek Trivia Night at Atlantic Co. If you go to our website at beardedladies.com, you can get more info on that. And then also I want to just give a shout-out to New York Girls Pint Out, which are a group that just formed in New York. They have a lot of national chapters, and they're doing an event on October 22nd for Hollaback, which is a street harassment awareness group. And it's a benefit of Brooklyn Brewery, and it's going to be awesome. So definitely get tickets for that.
Stop by Mugs after that.
Exactly.
Absolutely. For Alphabet City Beer Co., like I said, the classes are coming up, but we're near and dear to the hearts of the Colorado flooding thing. We were completely devastated by Sandy, so we feel those guys all month long. The Left Hand guys, Oscar Blues, the other big Colorado breweries. Breckenridge. When you buy Colorado beers,
Fort Collins.
Support these guys. Buy their beers. The more we get from them, the more money they get from Union Beer and their distributors to help build back from what was pretty awful stuff, but we can totally feel those guys on that.
Right.
So,
well, it's a diverse part of the New York area beer scene. Guys, thanks for listening. Also coming up, Cider Week New York. Go to jimmysnumber43.com. We have a lot of events coming up, and Cider Week's really it's like beer and cider comes together. I think the top restaurants and bars in the city are really active in that. If you want to learn more about Cider Week, check it out, Cider Week New York.
Yeah.
All right, thanks so much for listening. Thanks to Ed, Timothy, Meredith, Haley, Zach, Lisa, Leah, for joining me here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor. And thanks to Joe Galarraga, our engineer. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.